Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. Welcome to the Wednesday, May 31st edition of the podcast. We are on the cusp of the NBA Finals. Game 1 of Nuggets and Heat tipping off tomorrow night in Denver. We're going to get you ready for that game, share some insights on the series as well, too, with my good buds Andrew Cayley and Rohit Panea from Covers.com. They're going to come in here, talk all things Nuggets and Heat. I'm going to have some bets for Game 1 as well, too, that I already have down. And Arthur DeCesar from the Las Vegas Superbook going to come in, give us the inside scoop on all the action from Sin City. And as well, with me, as always, Dell, my producer here at the 600. Dell, we came so close to a Celtics and Lakers final. Are you content? Because that would have just been amazing. Are you content with Nuggets and Heat?
That would have been amazing for you. I would not have been happy. But I don't know. It's fun to mix it up. I love when it's something different. It's boring when it's always the same. Like that Warriors dynasty was brutal for a bit because you just knew every year that they're going to win and they're going to be in the finals. So I like that it's new. I'd like to see at least it's going to be either Jimmy Butler or Jokic win the title, and that'll be fun. It's good for the NBA to get new winners, not LeBron every year.
No LeBron. I'll take a LeBron title next year, though. We'll take that. As we get going here, a reminder, take a minute or two, rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast. We'd love to hear back from you. What do you want to hear for the NBA Finals? What do you want to hear over the summer months as we get towards football season? What do you want to hear in football season? Let us know. We'd love the feedback. And with all that said, let's start the show. 2023 NBA Finals tipping off tomorrow night, Game 1 between the Nuggets and the Miami Heat, and help us break down the best basketball bets for the series as well as the opener. We're going to run the little three-man weave. It's myself, Andrew Cayley, and Rohit Panea. Those guys have been covering NBA as well as myself for Covers.com all season long. Thanks for coming on here, guys. First off, who had Nuggets and Heat in their NBA Finals matchup? Anyone? Any futures hinging on anything here?
Mine was Clippers Bucks, which is just awful.
Yeah, I had Nuggets Bucks, so I had one side of it, but Bucks got bounced.
Oh, we got one side,
easy.
Right?
I think I had Boston Sacramento was my bracket pick, but of course I had the Lakers there as well too. My Lakers were so close. I was begging for a Lakers Celtics NBA Finals. That would have been amazing. But fair to say, no.
I think you're one. I think the NBA was.
Yeah, I was
that
hoping
too.
That Scott Foster was going to come in and hit someone with a steel chair, but it did not happen. Let's start series price. Nuggets, pretty big chalk out there, -360, -480, depending on where you want to bet. Miami coming back, +270, +340 range. You know, Miami, the little team that could. Any way that you jump into these kind of markets the way they are right now, or is there some different series markets or different series bets that you like? Rather than just going straight, who's going to win and lose?
Yeah, I mean, unless you go with the underdogs here, there's no real value in backing the Nuggets. I mean, the Heat have really surprised me all playoffs, but at the same time, I do think this is a bad matchup for them. But I like some of the series spread options. I think you can get a little bit of value out of that. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Heat are going to be able to push this one to 7 games, but I think maybe keep it a little bit closer than that. So like being able to take the Nuggets on 1.5 games, -1.5 series spread. Right now it's about -175. I think there's a bit of value there for sure.
Yeah. Andrew, how about you?
I took over 5.5 games for the whole series, -140. It's a decent price. I agree with Rohit. I think this is a really bad matchup for the Heat, which is why it seems like everybody is picking the Nuggets in this NBA Finals. But they're a well-coached team, and they'll make adjustments. Spoelstra will make adjustments, and I think they've got, like, they love saying they got that dog in them. So I think they steal a game or two in this series. I'm not, probably not in game one, not a big believer in them in this matchup tomorrow, but I really think that this game could go at least 6 games.
I said 5. I could see Miami winning one at home. We have seen the Nuggets kind of lay some eggs on the road, especially when they won those 2 games at home, went to Phoenix, looked terrible on defense against Phoenix, and then came back and wrapped it up. And they've been so fantastic at home that I could see them, maybe dropping one on the road in South Beach. But I had 5. And then one of the other bets that I did love was I took Michael Porter Jr., did the series preview, and didn't want to get involved with much of the markets there. But I did take this Michael Porter Jr. to lead – or to have the most three-pointers made in the series, which is out there like plus 240 to plus 380, depending on where you bet. He's a guy like he shot the ball a lot from beyond the arc against the Lakers. I think there's going to be lots of space again as the Heat try to figure out how to slow down Jokic. I don't know if that's going to be something that they can do.
It'll be really – yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see if they – obviously the zone was really successful for them against the Bucks and the Celtics. But the best answer for that is to throw a big man in the center who can pass, and the Nuggets got the best one in arguably NBA history doing that. And so you put him around, some shooters around him, and I like that.
Nice return. I mean, some places were really, really high on Jamal Murray to be that like minus 140 odds on favor type thing. So that was a bet that I have down already heading into the series. So there's some different ways to skin a cat here when we're looking at these two teams. As far as game one, Nuggets open -8, got up to as big as -9, -8.5, some places out there as of Wednesday right now. Now, the big reason for this is the rest edge and the home court advantage that's always baked in there for Denver, being that they've had, 10 days off, and the Heat have, 3 days off after that 7-game series, and then they have to go to altitude in Denver. Are we making too much of that in this right now? Is this something that we should be kind of leaning into with game one?
You know, I don't think so.
I'd say no. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think this is kind of bang on what I expected it to be. We were seeing pretty similar spreads towards the end of that Celtics Heat series in Boston. And like you said, with that added rest advantage, with the elevation in Denver, you know, I definitely think this is pretty much bang on where it should be. The Heat are a team that I think, you know, they've been very resilient, but we've seen them really kind of fold at times as well. Like when they do lose, we saw that in a couple of those games against the Celtics, they lose pretty badly.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see that happening again in game one.
Andrew?
Yeah, I heard a stat that NBA finals who have a 5 or more day rest advantage going into the finals and are playing at home are 8-1 in game number one and have gone on to win the series 8 of those 9 times. So that's my
I got another little stat for you here with the Nuggets. So this season, the Nuggets are 16-4 straight up, 13-6-1 ATS when playing on 3 or more days rest. They cover 67.5% of the time. So definitely a big advantage. The one thing that makes me hesitant here is that Denver has gone from the intensity of playing in LA for those final two games and closing out that series. And they've talked about how it's tough when you're away from the playoff atmosphere to replicate that intensity. And then we've had Miami that has just been living in the shit for 7 games, you know, playing with pressure, scrapping for their lives in a game 7 in Boston. So, you know, maybe it's something where they do come into this already playing at that level and Denver has to come and meet them. I could definitely see maybe like a Miami first half wager, Denver wins the game. You know how I love my double results, right? So those, yeah. I could see maybe something like that where Miami might come out and smack them around a little bit, and then those legs get heavy in the second half, and then the altitude
the
gets
legs
there.
Get heavy.
Then those adjustments are there for the Nuggets.
On top of that, like the other mismatch, I think is a lot of these teams like the Lakers. They've been able to you guard Jokic with Rui Hachimura, and then you have Anthony Davis coming as a secondary help to protect the rim, sort of thing. He just don't have that. It's going to be Bam on him.
It has to be Bam on him the whole time.
100% of the time, and they've got like no depth behind him. And that they're going to start Kevin Love. Maybe I don't.
They get dangerously.
It's really tough.
Small. In that starting lineup too, because then you've got like an Aaron Gordon who's 6'8", but plays bigger. And then you've got a Michael Porter Jr. who's 6'10".
Like small forward.
You've got Martin who's 6'5". Jimmy Butler's 6'6", 6'7". And then you've got Kevin Love and a Cody Zeller to bring off the bench. Those two guys weren't even on the floor. They didn't even play them in the final two games of that Celtics series because they were just defensive liabilities.
Yeah,
I looked it up here. So Miami to win first half, Denver to win the game, plus 425 right now at Bet365, if you like that. Ooh. If you like that dirty double result.
I'm also going to take KCP over 1.5 threes, I think. Just Yeah, I just he's taken almost five per game, and I think what we talked about it, he's just going to sit in the middle, find those shooters, and I think KCP is kind of the guy that could be overlooked in this matchup a little bit. Like you're looking at Porter and you're looking at yep. Jamal Murray, and he's the guy who could come in.
All right, I'm sure three pointers are going to have a big say in how the totals play out for this. Total for this one, just under 220. Seen anywhere from 219.5, open 218, places kind of bouncing between that. You have two slower paced offenses in terms of what their tempo was in the regular season and what they're doing right now. Two solid defenses. Miami, very, very switch happy. We'll see how that works out with Jokic. But any feel for the over or the under in game one?
Not really for me. It's really tough because you want to lean under, I think, is my gut because of the way the Heat play. But it seems like the Nuggets have upped their tempo in every series that they've gone through, and you could make the case that the Lakers were the best defensive team in
that's
the
second,
entire playoffs.
Second half of when they made those roster moves in mid-February, yeah, they were very good defensively.
Yeah, and that did not seem to slow them down too much. So I'm a little, maybe I'll look at a Denver team total in this one, and instead of the full game total. But I'm a little unsure about the,
sure.
the full
game. Rohit, any feeling on the over-under?
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards the under here. It's I think the Nuggets have actually played every game I've seen since the All-Star break. They've been playing slower and slower, it feels like. Mm-hmm. You've seen them kind of get a little bit fast and loose at times. We saw that in that Suns, I think it was like game three against the Suns, series opener against the Lakers. But for the most part, they've been, playing, slowing things down, running things through the inside there, and have been playing better defensively too. The end of that series against the Lakers, they played really well. Games 5 and 6 against the Suns, they played really well. Slowed down KD there. And going up against KD and Booker, and now you're going up against a Heat team that has, Jimmy Butler kind of struggling to get buckets, and Caleb Martin probably is their second best scorer there. So, I could see points being a little bit hard to come by for the Heat in this one.
Yeah, I'm also leaning under here for a couple of reasons. Denver doesn't give away any cheap buckets. They're very, very solid. Not a lot of turnovers, so you're not going to get a lot of points off turnovers. They hit the boards really hard. They're much, much bigger than Miami, so I expect them to own the glass, not give up many second-chance points off offensive glass as well. Like you said, they play that controlled possession. They can really slow down things, stick the series and stand. And that's going to make Miami really in must-score situations every time down the floor, especially if they're not getting buckets off of turnovers that they were able to do against Celtics and hit the glass for extra chance points and stuff like that. The other thing for me is Miami. How long can their hot shooting go? We saw the wheels wobble a little bit in those losses to Boston. They were red hot throughout the playoffs for the most part, had their wheels wobble from outside against the Knicks at times, but this is a team that was like 27th in three-point shooting in the regular season. Now they're the best three-point shooting team in the playoffs. And like you said, guys like Martin suddenly catching fire. I expect some aggression. Denver, too, very long, can get a hand in front of those shooters. There's going to be some bigger matchups. And Denver's did, while the Lakers aren't a very big three-point threat, but Denver doing well to protect against a three-pointer overall in the playoffs. So also leaning under as well, too. And I think it's... Like I said, there's no easy way to score for Miami in this series. I'll say that. I've got some bets for game one. I'm going to get to those later in the show. Got them in the hopper already. Anything else that you guys are looking at here now that we're 24 hours out from tip off of game one? Andrew, what do you like for bets in this game?
I am going to take the Nuggets in game one at the -8.5. They've been really impressive in series openers, and I bet them to win the NBA Finals after Game One of the Suns series. Just like I knew they were being discredited a bit for being kind of like an overrated number one seed in the West, but that was the game where I was like, this team can really, they can win it all. Like they have all the pieces that are needed to do it. And you guys talked about it. Don't give away possessions. The defense has been quietly better, and like you like to say, they have the best player on the court every game of this series. And that's going to be a huge factor for them. Speaking of that, I'm going to take Jokic over his assists. It's a little square over 9.5. He's averaging 10.3 per game in the playoffs. And I know the Heat are going to try to throw that zone at him for a little bit, and I could really see him picking them apart sure. with it. So over 10.5 or 9.5, sorry, assists.
I could get him.
There. It's pretty juicy. I think it's -135 or so, but I'm still.
I can get aboard with that. I do have some overs in terms of points and things tied to points for some guys around Jokic as well, too. So definitely could see him. Rohit, got anything you like for game 1 so far?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things I'm taking a quick look at. One of them was the over points on Bam. I think it's 16.5 on most books. I mean, obviously not getting involved enough against the Celtics. But like you guys mentioned, he's going to be kind of the lone guy that can match up with Joker there. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to be on the floor an awful lot. And they really need him to kind of attack, I think, Jokic inside and get the inside there. And I think they'll have a slightly easier time, I think, than against the Celtics, because Horford and Robert Williams did a pretty good job of kind of stopping him from getting inside against them in the paint. But, you know, I think we're getting a relatively low number there. And if the Heat want to win, they're going to need a bigger performance from Bam. So I like that. The other one is over 7.5 rebounds for Jimmy. Like you mentioned, they could get killed on the boards. Butler's been kind of their best rebounder kind of all playoffs. He really needs to attack the glass there. And right now, I think over 7.5 is at plus money. I think there are going to be plenty of rebounding opportunities in this one because there's going to be lots of outside shots, I think, being taken by both teams.
All right. Do we even bother with the MVP market at this point? Or is this just Jokic and maybe a sprinkle on Murray?
I saw someone take Murray in one of the other mainstream media sites as the MVP. And obviously, there's no value in it because I believe the Nuggets are going to win, and if they're going to win, it's going to Jokic.
Because if Jokic isn't scoring 30 points, then he's scoring 19 points and he's putting up 15 assists and 12 rebounds.
Yeah.
One other bet I did have was I'm taking Murray to have the highest game scoring performance though in the series. You can get that at 2-1.
That's pretty good.
Well, Jokic will be the steady guy. Murray's good for his one or two kind of go unconscious from beyond the arc, and
he'll hang a 40 burger on somebody at some point.
Exactly.
All right. NBA title odds are up for next season already. Any teams that you want to get a jump on with futures? Obviously, we've got the off-season free agency market and some trades. We've got some big-name guys in the mix this year. Any teams that kind of tickle your pickle here for next season's futures?
You know, the big one for me, I'm going to look at LA for two of them. One thing I'm going to avoid is the Clippers. I'm not touching them with a 10-foot pole at this point. It's neither George or Leonard. One of them is going to be hurt. We know this at this point. We've never really seen them all. It's a sin, but we haven't seen them both healthy. I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
All right.
As far as the Lakers go, I think I think there's a bit of value there. You know, they do have a little bit of room in terms of the money market. I could see Kyrie going back there.
Yeah.
You know, they have a little bit of wiggle room because they have those expiring contracts. So it wouldn't shock me. Especially at some of the odds you're getting for the Lakers, but right now it's an interesting market because it could be a pretty wide open season next year.
Yep, Andrew, are we here?
I love the Cavs. Cavs 25-1. We've talked about the Cavs on here before. Obviously, a very disappointing playoff exit this year. They did not expect to go out in the first round of the playoffs. They have a very strong, solid four in Allen and Mobley and Garland and Mitchell. But what we talked about is how that team has no depth beyond those four guys. So I think this is the offseason. They go out, they get some good six-man of the year kind of candidates, fill out that roster a little more, and then maybe next year we see them make a real push. And I'd bet them now before those offseason moves take place, and maybe we see
who would be a good fit there? Jeremy Grant. I think Grant would be a really nice fit with the Cavs. And,
I think so too, yeah. Kuzma wouldn't be bad for them either, I don't think.
Yeah. I think I gotta pay attention to Phoenix. I still think that there's going to be some takers. Someone's going to want to jump on that bandwagon, play alongside Durant, play alongside a Booker. Is DeAndre Ayton still there next season, do you think? Or you think this is something where they're going to try to bring in another, kind of make their own big three, Ayton a big piece of that puzzle that they would trade away?
I don't know. That's a good question, though. I'd probably try to move him.
I think you try to move him. There's still value on him. You try to move him right now. I don't think, you know, I'm not sure if CP3 sticks around another year either. I think they might try to move on from both of them.
They look better without Chris Paul in the postseason, actually. When he got hurt, they moved on better. All right, we've talked about a lot of serious things, but as you know, we like to get silly here on the Sharp 600. Ted Lasso, which is a series that I love and watch my family and love it, potentially coming to a close. Season 3 finale, I think, is out now. It's taking everything in my power not to watch it. Waiting for my wife to be there tonight to watch it with me. Everyone loves to rank sports movies, but how about sports TV shows? And give me your top three all-time TV shows based somewhat around sports. Doesn't have to be directly tied to sports. What do you got there, Andrew?
And we're like dramas, whatever. Like, you mean fictional dramas or comedies? Comedy. Or do we mean like docs?
I would
or avoid the docs.
Avoid the doc. The docs, because that could be a completely different conversation. I would say dramas, comedies, series like that.
So, admittedly, haven't watched Ted Lasso yet, so I'm going to binge it all now that it's good. Now that it's all over. So
that's a good summer. That's a good summer. But,
Praying a Wife is due in a few months here now. We're going to load up on the TV shows that we need to watch, and that's definitely on the list. Number one for me, there's not a whole lot. Like, it's a short list, I think. It's not like the sports movies where we have a huge cornucopia to pick from. The League is a big one for me. I think it's a super underrated comedy. I love the writing in that. And it got a little repetitive after about season 3 or 4. But those first few seasons of The League, I really, really enjoyed. Friday Night Lights, obviously a solid show as well. And can I say The Sopranos? No. Because I feel like no show I've ever watched talks about sports betting more than The Sopranos. No,
get the fuck out of here.
Number three, sorry, I don't know. Friday Night Lights, The League, and geez, it's a tough one. I don't know what my number three is. Come back to me. Go to Roe and I'll think.
What do you got for us, pal?
Yeah, I mean, I love The League. League's friggin' hilarious. Like you said, it gets a bit repetitive, but it's a good one. Friday Night Lights, classic. But I really love Blue Mountain State, man. I think it's a little bit underrated. Always made me laugh. It's great there. You got Alan Richardson there. He's now, taking on some big roles, but it's him when he's, like, 20 years old, just playing the perfect jock. It's a great show. Yeah. And I'm going to throw a little shout-out to a show I've been actually watching on Netflix called Sanctuary. It's a Japanese show. It's on Netflix Canada, though. I was watching it over in Japan. It's a show about a young sumo wrestler. It's pretty cool. It's very cool. It's a brand new show. It's a young up-and-coming sumo wrestler with attitude, kind of taking on the whole establishment. And the bad guy is this 500-pound sumo wrestling champion who has half his face burned off. And he's
God.
Got a big back in season one. So it's a pretty entertaining show.
Is it dubbed or is it subtitles?
I watch in subtitles. I don't do dubs. It just sounds too weird when I think it's dubbed, but subtitles are pretty good.
All right. So I'll say Ted Lasso is number one. I do really enjoy that show and the fish out of water story and then all of the feel good stuff. And just when you think it's going to take one of those corny dramatic twists that you always see in shows where it's like, oh, this person who is really nice, suddenly terrible and they're the bad guy. It just doesn't do that. It's very hinged in reality. And I'll sit down and watch it. I'll watch it with my kids. They all love it. Good lessons and stuff on that. Friday Night Lights, definitely up there. The League, definitely up there. Eastbound and Down.
Thank you. That was the one hilarious. I was, yeah.
And also Ballers was awesome. I really enjoyed Ballers.
Underrated one. You took my third one there. I was going to say Eastbound and Down, even though it hasn't aged as well as some of the other ones. But another one I like, another baseball one's Brockmire.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, no, that's a really good one.
He's an alcoholic baseball broadcaster. Very, very good. 100%.
That, I totally forgot about Brockmire. That is definitely up there. That would give the league a run for its money, I think, too. I've enjoyed, as a Lakers fan, I've enjoyed Winning Time. And John C. Reilly's been awesome as Dr. Buss. So that's been good. Waiting for
season. Do you like it as like a fictionalized version of it?
Like,
you're a big Lakers fan, so you know how to take it with a grain of salt.
I've sat through all the documentaries for all the Lakers stuff. I've watched it all, so I know the stories inside out. I really do enjoy the sensationalization of it all. And I think the characters are awesome. The guy that plays Jerry West, where he's just freaking out and he's in the back of the limo, like cursing at the Boston Celtics. I love it. It's awesome. It's awesome. All right, guys, thanks so much for coming on. Good luck with the NBA Finals bets, and we'll catch up with you guys next week. Before we get to the 2-minute drill with Arthur, I got a couple bets, a few bets here for NBA Finals Game 1, going with Michael Porter Jr. over 15.5 points. This one out there, -105. The 6'10" Porter kind of can do what he wants here against this Miami team in terms of matchups. He can shoot over smaller defenders. He can blow by bigger ones. Miami doesn't really have a great rotation to throw at him. You're either going to go small with Butler or Martin at forward, or you're going to go too slow with Love and Cody Zeller, who didn't even play at the end of that Celtics series because they were defensive liabilities. And then, you know, Bam Adebayo is just not going to leave Jokic's side, even with the way that this team switches, I think. And as we've seen Miami, when they've played Denver, Bam has basically been glued to the side of the Joker. But Porter can hit some three-pointers. He can get some easy buckets inside if he doesn't get super soft. And I've said he's been one of the softer players in the NBA. But just don't shrink up, man. But my numbers on him, calling for 17.2 points in Game 1. Some models out there have more than 20 points from Porter Jr. Either way, it gets us past this total of 15.5 for Game 1. I'm going with his front court mate Aaron Gordon to go over 15.5 points plus assists. This one, -110. Gordon also has some positive projections for Thursday's game. My forecast out there, 15.4 points, 3.2 assists, which could have a much higher ceiling. He was stepped up as a big facilitator against the Lakers. Some models out there calling for as many as 22.6 combo stats for this particular prop, which definitely has us going over on his assists plus points at 15.5. Like I said, emerged as a facilitator in the LA series. He had his 14 total assists over those four games. He had a great 22-point showing in the final game 4, knocking out the Lakers. And he definitely could just eclipse this combo prop on points alone. So I like Gordon to go over 15.5 points plus assists. And then with the Heat, I'm going under on Caleb Martin, 16.5 points at -120. Martin's been one of the big surprises for this team. Been shooting the ball specifically well from outside, which is something that the Heat have done much, much better than they did in the regular season. And he's put up a lot of points, and his points prop for Game 1 as high as 16.5 here. Projections for Game 1, though, all come in well under this. Some of them as much as 3 points below his point total for Game 1. My number at 12.5 points for Martin in Thursday night. He's been especially sharp from outside the last few games, 8-for-14 in those final two games against Boston. But just standard regression, hitting the road, playing a different defense. And then Denver plays a pretty tight perimeter defense as well, too. They've given up less than 10 three-pointers per game in the postseason. I think that keeps him under this inflated total. Going to see some bigger, taller defenders as well, too. He's going to have a guy like Porter Jr. or Aaron Gordon in his face with their hand up. So I like Martin to go under 16.5 points at -120. 2-minute drill time with Arthur DeCesar of the Superbook. Arthur, NBA Finals down to the Heat and the Nuggets. Who is the book rooting for in terms of liability in the futures market?
We will be pulling for the Denver Nuggets.
Ah, who'd have thought, right? We'd be getting here with Heat and Nuggets. Game 1 tips off Thursday night. Where did you guys open the spread? How has the action been here on this opening game so far?
We opened Nuggets -8. We're now at 9, but nothing really sharp so far. It's basically been public money that is back Denver.
Okay. Game 1 total just short of 220. Where was the Superbook stance on that number, and where's the early money landed on the total?
So we opened a little bit lower. We were as low as 218.5. Mm-hmm. We're now 219.5. So we've seen some under money. We did take a sharp play at 218.5.
Okay. NBA Finals MVP, obviously, it's like Jokic and everyone else. But any other players drawing MVP futures as we get into this series?
I think no surprise because of the juicy number, Jamal Murray, 12-1. I think people want to take a shot there.
Yeah, and a guy who can just go off for 40.
Yep.
All right. Puck drops, though, in the Stanley Cup Final. Saturday, the Golden Knights taking on the Panthers. What are the series odds? What's the best outcome for the book in this one?
We'll definitely be rooting for the Panthers. But yeah. Knights, -130. We were as high as 135, but the series prices stayed pretty consistent. The people taking shots on the Stars have kind of been price shopping.
Okay. And with you guys being a Nevada-based book, other Nevada-based books, are you going to pad your prices on the Golden Knights because of kind of geographical bias compared to what we'll see in some other illegal states?
You know what? We don't have to this year. I think in all the other years, we would have. We're okay on the Knights.
Okay. WNBA, too. Underway. I love the dub. It's my summer love. How is that market? Is it grown at all with the audience expanding?
It's definitely grown. It's very popular here with the Aces. And it's also very popular with the professional bettors, especially on totals. They love betting the totals.
Yeah, dub totals move, and they'll move like 10 points. Move. It's crazy, yeah. All right, we got a couple fun questions. I heard the horn, but time for fun in the sun. I will admit it. I like my kind of tropical fruity cocktails. Is there one tropical fruity cocktail that you are not ashamed to drink in public?
I mean, if I'm in like a beach resort town and you give me a frozen pina colada, I'll do it all day.
All right. And we were talking about this earlier on the show. Best TV sports show. So TV show based somewhat around sports.
Clear Eyes, Full Hearts, Can't Lose. Oh, yeah. Friday Night Lights. I don't even think it's close, but that's just
a good
me.
One. Yeah. Texas forever, buddy. Yep. Texas forever. All right. That is it for this episode of the Sharp 600. Thank you, Taco. Thank you, Ro. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, Dell. Thank you for listening. While we're here, too, sending some positive vibes to the folks in Halifax displaced by the fires there. That's the home of Cover's headquarters. We do have some members on our team that have had to leave their homes here and evacuate. So I'm glad everyone is safe. And we're thinking of you guys and hoping the best, and we love you. Reminder, too, rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast. When you do have a moment, we'll be back next Wednesday. Until then, enjoy the NBA Finals and good luck with your bets.